All right. Welcome to the KNS Radio Network. I'm Kevin Keith here on a Thursday. Thank you for joining me. Appreciate you coming along for the ride and dialing us in here on this Thursday. Thank you so much. I want to thank our community-minded partners to start off with. We've got Heather's Flowers of Frankfort, The Oasis Frankfort, Baber's Honest John Tree Service, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gem City Junction in Frankfort, ProBuy Computers and Pizza Hut of Frankfort, along with Live for Life Indiana, Lebanon. I'm Kevin Keith, and thank you again for being here. Again, I know it is a little extra work to dial us in at the knsradionetwork.com. You just go to our website, and it's pretty cool. You just click on the listen. What is it? Listen live? Or, you know, I'm rarely at the homepage. Let me go here, and I'll tell you exactly what it is. I think it's listen live. I usually pull up the app. Oh, listen now. So there you go. Just click on the listen now when you go to knsradionetwork.com, and you'll see a caricature of myself there, a goofy-looking picture of me. Thank you, Jennifer Davis, for putting that together. And then the listen now is the big orange button over to the left, and you click on that, and boom, you can listen now. Amazing how that works. If you would like to make a suggestion for the radio station, or cuss me out, or tell me something about what you've got going on in your life, maybe something we can help you out in our investigative reporting or just covering news throughout the Frankfort and Clinton County area, you can always drop me an email. That's Kevin at knsradionetwork.com. It's very simple there. Or, of course, you can hit me up on Facebook as well on Facebook Messenger. So I've got a treat for you this morning. I was able to go to the Clinton County Sheriff's Merit Deputy Board meeting last night. And I know it kind of sounds like a sleeper because it's not, it doesn't sound like an exciting city council or county commissioner meeting, but I actually got some good news out of it for y'all, including a few exclusives that you won't hear from the station across town where the coffee still sucks or the Frankfort Times. Frankly, they wouldn't cover some of these stories, a couple of these exclusives that I've got for you this morning. Although it's public record and sometimes things are uncomfortable and they have to go through the process. And sometimes that means we get to cover these things in the media. But when you pick and choose, like the station across town where the coffee still sucks, you know, that you're not doing the community any favors. So keep that in mind when you decide where to get your news and information and your local stuff, all right? Now, I wish I had a budget the size of Brazil where I could hire a couple reporters to go cover these news stories and news meetings and things that happen throughout the week when I'm normally at work. I've not got to that point yet, but trust me that I'm working full-time as a surveyor. I come home of an evening, and I do what I can here for KNS, which includes selling. So I'm trying to sell KNS a little more to make a little more money to be able to pay some reporters to go cover some news, because that's the only thing we're missing on a consistent basis. And if I could get two or three reporters and train them, we could really bring you some good news, and not just the fluff stuff that you hear, not just what these elected lawmakers tell Casper Media to report. No spin, no nothing, just the facts. And we'd be able to tackle more of that for you. So when I come ask your business for advertising, please say yes. And you'll probably see my ugly mug darken your door here before too long, all right? Or if you want to just get on board with the knsradionetwork.com, just hit me up, Kevin at knsradionetwork.com, or shoot me a text. A lot of you have my phone, or hit me up on Facebook Messenger as well. So I went to the Sheriff Merit Board meeting last night, and there's a couple exclusives, like I said, you won't hear anywhere else. And I had a chance to sit down and talk to Sheriff Rich Kelly after the meeting. And one thing that we can't talk much about yet, because it's not all public knowledge, is about some disciplinary action that the Sheriff's Merit Board will be taking on October 16th. I went last night for a couple reasons, a couple stories I'm going to bring you in a moment. But one of those reasons was for I caught wind that a deputy who is currently not working, who is on administrative leave, is going to have formal charges brought against her. And her attorney last night was there and asked for a continuance. And the Merit Board did grant that continuance. So October 16th will be when the charges are read and we can find out a little more together what went on. Now, I've got a copy of some of that. I just want to make sure that I don't get anyone in trouble or hamper either side, the defense for this deputy, or the Sheriff Merit Board. I don't want to get in the middle of that. I don't want to hurt either side before they do what they need to do in the whole process. But we'll talk more about that in a moment, as I do have copies of the complaints that the sheriff will read October 16th at 5 p.m. There were a couple things that they asked for a sheriff report, if you will, during the Sheriff's Merit Board meetings once a month. And there were a couple things that I took notes on and certainly wanted to ask Sheriff Kelly about afterwards, including something that they kind of glossed over, but I was able to get a little more information from him when we sat down after the meeting. And this is about, I heard him mention during the meeting, he was telling the board that he was really disappointed because they were needing a couple new transport vehicles to take these offenders, to court, wherever they need to go, to court and places beyond. Transport vehicles, right? He also said he was wanting to get one or two of those and maybe purchase two or three Tahoes because they've got several that are getting toward the end of their life as far as mileage and just, get to the point where you have to put more money into them. And of course, we need our law enforcement officers with the best shape vehicles that we can possibly provide as taxpayers. And don't forget that Sheriff Kelly has brought in a lot of money from the federal inmate program as well. And that's all kind of went into one big pot. And I got a sense that the commissioners are not giving the sheriff now what he needs when he goes to them and makes a request, even though he's the one that initially brought in the money with the federal inmate program. Now, is that their right as commissioners? Yes, it absolutely is. But when it comes to just getting a couple transport vehicles and trying to get a couple Tahoes as well so we could phase out the old and phase in the new so we're not chasing criminals with old Tahoes or something that needs an oil change and leaking oil or something, for fear of blowing a head gasket or something. He even got county council approval on the approval for the transport vehicles and some Tahoes, but the commissioner said no. And if you know, but there's no sense in asking why. I mean, they're not going to change their mind. And they said that they didn't have it in the budget. Sheriff will explain a little bit here in a moment as I play some of our conversation. But that was one thing that he had initially talked about. So here's Sheriff Rich Kelly talking about county commissioners not enabling him to purchase undercover vehicles for that purpose or other transport vehicles. In addition to no Tahoes, which are replacing the ones that they currently have that would end, that are toward the end of their lives, and safety for the officers out there with the Clinton County Sheriff's Department. So again, we're talking about transport vehicles, replacing some Tahoes, and the commissioner saying no to undercover vehicles. I asked him about that.
And where to do that from fully marked or unmarked Tahoes, not specialty vehicles that are used for surveillance, for a lot of different things, for watching drug violations, our sexual predators in our community. It's pretty obvious that we have them. It's pretty obvious that we investigate it, but it's a decision by commissioners that there's no need for any specialty vehicles, such as a truck that has sat in the back lot for over a year.
We're talking about things we see on like Chicago PD, right? Like an undercover van or something that would, it's not a marked vehicle.
Yes, a nondescript vehicle that can be used in surveillance, used for watching suspects, used for conducting business without drawing attention. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's pretty simple. It's kind of, you know, you can watch a lot of TV and see that it's pretty useful. Mm-hmm. You can watch, any of the social media channels and you see the use of undercover vehicles or unmarked vehicles. So it's disappointing. And it's disappointing that, you know, a fund that was created to take care of all of the sheriff's office's needs as far as vehicles is now paying the bills for chillers, heating and cooling, AC, electrical issues, different issues here at the facility. So, I mean, I'm glad that we have the fund, and I'm glad that we are able to keep this facility moving forward, but still, there's no talks, there's no plans of the future for this facility that's well over 30 years old now. So,
and you didn't know at the time that you would have to, if you're going to run into these roadblocks occasionally, that you would have to set that money aside for vehicles only, spell it out, right? I mean, it was just for the sheriff's department use, but now you're not getting to have the input as to what it's used for.
Right, that's correct. And, you know, and it's simply put is that, you know, It's a lot easier to be prepared than to try and catch up. And we haven't learned our lesson from COVID that there are some things that you order and you're going to wait. You may get it, you may not get it. And I think we all understand that it takes a lot longer to get things than it did in 2020. So, you know, it's difficult, but, you know, the operations of the sheriff's office is being directly affected. It's being directly affected by decisions made in a courtroom by our commissioners and our council. So be it.
Did I hear you correctly? The county council actually approved this, but it was the commissioners that made the ultimate call on this?
Yes.
I also asked the sheriff about the hiring process. He mentioned that they are currently in the process of hiring one individual, one law enforcement officer there for the Clinton County Sheriff's Department. And he said they are going through a series of three tests and says that's not just a walk in the park.
You're set for a day of testing. One is a physical agility testing and, you know, push-ups, sit-ups, standing jump, the mile and a half, and the 300-meter run. And they have times that are assigned to them that they have to pass. And those times we are using what the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy's exit standards are. So that's what we use as our standard. And so they have to pass that. And then they have a written test, and they have to follow through with passing the written test. And that pretty much gets you to the next step where background investigations start, you get set for interviews. So there's quite a bit to get done in a short amount of time. But we do have one position that's open currently, and that's what we're having the hiring process for.
And you usually have more than one for one position and see kind of who makes it toward the end?
We originally started earlier this year with three open positions. We hired two from the last process, so that left us one position that was still open. So we opened the process again this past in August. And so we took applications in August, and we started the physical testing last weekend. And we'll finish up with a second group of people to test this weekend. We had 19 apply. So out of that 19, criminal histories, backgrounds, failing physical, any physical portion of the thing, of the testing. So it's very competitive, and everything is weighed against it, everything. So, I mean, you know, your push-ups and your sit-ups add up to a number. Your times and your runs all add up, and you're compared to 19 other people or 18 other people. So, you know, there's attrition in the testing process. And, you know, and when you get to the end, we've had the disappointment of not being able to hire somebody because they fail a physical or they fail the psychological testing that they have to pass as well. So, you know, it's a long process, and sometimes it just seems like, you know, you can't move forward, and you just got to start it all over again. So
you got to get that right, though.
You have to get it right, and you have to hire the right people. Mm-hmm. Just, it's our community.
Again, this is Kevin Keith from the KNS Radio Network speaking with Clinton County Sheriff Rich Kelly. I also talked to him about John Griner. Deputy Griner was instrumental in several arrests earlier this year that spanned several states, and this goes back to sexual predators that they were able to take off the streets, and Deputy Griner was instrumental in that. I talked to Sheriff Kelly about that too.
Detective Griner approaches me months ago. Hey, this is what I got. And you know what? Carte blanche. Make it happen. Get it done. Get with all the federal agencies that you need to get with, every state agency, every local agency, in whatever state it is, and make it happen. You know, get these folks involved. Get, you know, from Texas, I think Kansas. I mean, there are so many states, and the realization that within a few minutes, this person will share that picture, share the battery, share the sexual misconduct with a minor, with thousands. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you can watch the national news and you see what's happening on the mm-hmm. national level. And, you know, and it's like anything. We have provided as an administration every tool that we could find, everything that we could give them to make sure that this happens, that we close cases. And, you know, there's quite a bit more information that would probably make every person in this community sick to their stomach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there might be a time that I'd love to share that, but we do get pushback mm-hmm. when we're conducting these investigations. And from our judicial system, and I say judicial, but our entire system. And so, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I think the system is being overwhelmed with what has happened. And if you ask any of our investigators, they'll tell you, during COVID, this type of violation, this type of crime has skyrocketed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has skyrocketed, you know, and with technology, AI, the different things that are out there, it's absolutely, we have to do it. We have to be able to, you know, spend the money, use the money to buy technology to stay above it.
We also talked about the budget. The budget's come up every year, and it's normally in November. This one's going to be in October, so they're standing by for that. And Sheriff Kelly says they have a good budget, and one thing they're adding this year is a civilian position, which is sort of a crime scene investigator, not entirely that, but he said right now it's being taken care of with detectives, and this will give them a chance to get back on the road and do actual sheriff department stuff instead of being the ones who are taking in evidence and doing all that. This is also part of taking the evidence and also overseeing the sex offender registry, doing the home checks. So it's certainly a couple hats. The mayor and deputies could get back on the road and doing what they're supposed to be doing. So Sheriff Kelly talks a little bit about that as part of the upcoming budget process.
We're asking for a civilian position, an additional civilian position to cover the retirement of, you know, a lieutenant that takes care of the evidence room, evidence intake, and also the sex offender registry, which is an absolute must by state statute. The sheriff's office shall maintain the registry. And, you know, and there's a lot that comes along with that. And, you know, and it's been done in the past by civilians or quote-unquote special deputies. That is the where we want to be at. And that would actually free up a position that would go back to patrol or be available out there, you know, serving the general community more so than what it has been in the past.
And last but not least, one of the coolest things we talked about last night was how the Clinton County Sheriff's Department is going to be going down to the Indianapolis International Airport here real soon in conjunction with Goodwin Funeral Home. And I'm going to try to talk to Bill Miller either before or after this happens. But they're going to be escorting a World War II Clinton County veteran who is finally coming home. And he's going to be buried south of Michigantown. And it was a private first class, and they're going to give him a full motorcycle escort. And Sheriff Kelly had some thoughts on that.
It is an emotional story. A couple weeks ago, Goodwin Funeral Home contacted us. The sheriff's office contacted me directly and asked if we would be available and willing to help escort PFC Brown back to Clinton County. And, you know, and I didn't know the backstory. I didn't have any clue. So, we had a meeting at Goodwin Funeral Home, and we talked about it. And, you know, and Bill Miller is a fantastic person. And, you know, and I take that with a whole lot of pride that we're asked to do this. And, and I'm thinking back the whole time we're talking, I'm kind of distracted because I'm thinking, I know what I was like when I was 37 years old. And I know what a lot of other 37-year-olds are like. And at 37, this man, married, two children from Kirkland, said, I will volunteer. And he goes into the Army. He ends up in harm's way in France and never comes home. And, you know, and I think, you know, we all talk about generational differences. And do I have what it takes to do? Would I have done the same thing? And, you know, for us to make the decision to go and transport and escort him back home, absolutely, 100%, in the rain, in the snow, I will walk from, you know, the mm-hmm. airport to Indiana or to home if I had to. And, you know, so it's one of those things where it definitely gives you the ability and the understanding that great things come from this community. Great things. And, you know, and there's a lot of history behind it. And I'd encourage, you know, to talk to Bill Miller about it when it's mm-hmm. all said and done, or even before then. But, you know, to be able to give closure to our community and closure to the family and the ability to bring back a hero back to our ground and bring him home. So it is emotional. It's really, really one of those things that we've helped with other veterans that have been killed overseas. Mm-hmm. On the exit of Afghanistan, you know, Humberto Sanchez, mm-hmm. you know, United States Marine, we were able to bring him home and take him to Logansport through Clinton County. And yeah. I'm flat telling you, you know, that's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. Give back to our communities, not just our community, but to our state, to our country, and everything that we can do. So, you know, it's a little bit that Clinton County gives when it comes down to people giving their lives for our freedoms and all the things that we can fight and argue about in a courthouse mm-hmm. to a courtroom. Mm-hmm. We have to thank them for the opportunity. So it's very easy to do for us. And we greatly appreciate the opportunity.
With the Clinton County Sheriff's Department, John Wright is the president of that. And again, on October 16th, a little closer to that, I will bring you exclusively information concerning this deputy who will be having charges brought against her. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment as to what is able to be released so far. But again, I have the documents, and we're going to play it fair, so we're not sticking K&S in the middle between the defense attorney and the sheriff's merit deputy board there. And they have their process they have to go through. It will be read aloud at the October 16th meeting, and some more details will come out then. Also, taking care of some business last night, the president, John Wright, he was talking about how the next part of this will be the fact-finding mission of the termination for that deputy. And again, Sheriff Kelly will speak at that time. And he also talked about the need for a procedural spokesperson to make decisions for the board if they're not all three able to get together and someone needs an answer right away, like a defense attorney. And so last night they had the continuance, as I mentioned, and then it was okayed by the merit board for John Wright to continue to be that procedural spokesperson. Again, just as a hearing officer, if they need some decision to be made and they can't get all three or four from the board together. So that was also approved last night. And again, at this time, Sheriff Kelly can't say a whole lot about the charges against Melissa Trump, but here's what he could share with us last night.
It's when things come to the sheriff's office and we see that there's improprieties or that there's, you know, violations of the merit rules and the department policies, we address it. And, you know, and it's... Yeah, it's a have to do. So, you know, this is something that, you know, as an agency, we'll address it and we'll have the hearing and it'll be decided.
It's an unfortunate part of the job, but you got to be transparent too the whole time.
It is. It's absolutely, you know, unfortunate because we've invested a lot of time, a lot of effort, and, you know, a lot of people in the community have invested into these folks and into our deputies. And, you know, but just as anything else, there is a process, and we will go through the process, and we'll carry that out next month at the merit board meeting.
Thanks, Sheriff.
You're welcome. Great seeing you again, and as always, be safe, Clinton County.
So the deputy we're talking about in question is Melissa Trump, and at the October 16th meeting at 5 p.m., Sheriff Rich Kelly will request her termination. This will come after a fact-finding mission of the Sheriff Deputy Merit Board investigating. And Sheriff Kelly will read the charges and read everything they have from their documents at that meeting at that time. And John Wright, the president, said at that time they will decide what course of action they would like to take. And of course, the defense attorney will have his chance to say what he wants that night as well. Last night, they asked for a continuance for Melissa Trump. She was there along with her defense attorney. And so we will find out more October 16th at next month's meeting. So the continuance was granted, and that'll be continued until October 16th at 5 p.m. for the termination of Deputy Melissa Trump. Again, I want to thank our community-minded partners here helping us out at the KNS Radio Network. We've got Heather's Flowers of Frankfort, The Oasis Frankfort, Baber's Honest John Tree Service, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gym City Junction in Frankfort, ProBuy Computers and Pizza Hut of Frankfort, plus Live for Life Indiana Lebanon from the KNS Radio Network. I'm Kevin Keefe, and normally we will have Bill Gant joining me on Friday. Just a little housekeeping information for you here. Bill Gant will not be able to join me. He and I had a scheduling conflict. Sometimes we get together on Thursday night. Sometimes we get together Friday morning. Couldn't do it this week. So unfortunately, Bill won't be joining me Friday, but he's assured me, and I will assure you, that he will be back with me a week from this Friday, okay? So you got that to look forward to, and we promise all will be well. Couple things that I had to talk about this morning. One was particularly in the town of Rossville. I saw this like two nights ago, I believe, on Facebook, and I have to laugh because I'm not a cat fan. I love dogs, but I'm allergic to cats, and I've never really seen a whole lot of need for cats. Please don't throw tomatoes at me. I know a lot of y'all have cats, and that's cool, and I have family members that love cats, and that's cool. That's your personal choice, but take that out of the equation here. Somebody posted somewhere on Facebook about too many cats, basically, in the Rossville area. And normally, you know, that's a topic that's only going to affect a few people. You're going to get a few comments. You're going to get a few likes, a few of the angry faces, maybe a few ha-has. But this got over 100 comments within the first 3 or 4 hours. And there were so many opinions as to what should be done about the feral cat problem in Rossville. You would have thought aliens had invaded Rossville. Now, we've dealt with this in Frankfort for a long time. And I know we have the trap, neuter, spay, release program that Jet Animal Services does. And it's a great service. And I think they would help anyone out. It may be exclusive to the Frankfort city limits, but I don't think so. But there's always help out there. And one argument is to catch these stray feral cats and get them fixed so they can't be making more babies. The other argument is if you take them away, they're just going to be replaced by others. Now, I don't think I necessarily agree with that, but I'm trying to get a couple people to come on the air with me and talk about this because it seems to be a much bigger issue than I originally thought. I was kind of laughing at it at first. So it prompted the town of Rossville to come out. I think this was maybe Monday afternoon, might have been Sunday, but the town of Rossville posted this. The town is having some issues with residents feeding stray cats and other critters. We are asking that you please do not do this. There are neighbors that do not want these stray animals hanging around their property. Thank you. Now, that got a lot of ha-has because it is kind of funny. And somebody later said that the Rossville City Police asked the town of Rossville to post this on their Facebook page, which kind of makes it even worse, I think. But again, a million ideas and opinions on this, some good. And I over the next couple days, I'm going to try to have a couple individuals come on with me and talk about this and maybe be able to get some kind of recourse or some kind of answer or something that, you know, maybe you haven't heard of or thought of or the town hasn't. But, you know, it's like the town of Rossville is telling people, please do not feed stray cats and critters. Well, what's that going to make people do? Because half the comments, if not more, were, the hell? You're not going to tell me who and what I can't feed? Because most people are generally good, and they're going to feed these stray cats if they see them starving to death or coming around and they're not causing a lot of trouble. Now, some people said the cats were pooping in their flower beds, and a person came back and countered that and said, hey, just look at it as free fertilizer. I know it don't always work that way. If you don't have a cat and you step out in your yard and you step in cat crap, that's kind of a problem. Okay, I get that. I can't stand the smell of cats, and I can smell a cat 6 miles away. Some of us are allergic. I don't think it would bother me if it was an outdoor cat, so I've never really thought about it, but I've never lived here in a community where there's a bunch of feral cats just running around. Now, I think they're on the fringe of society, and I live downtown, and I see this one stray cat, and I think it's a stray. Every morning when I'm outside smoking a cigarette when I get ready for morning sickness at like 5:30 in the morning, this cat just running around my little square here, and she usually goes over behind Nickel Plate Flats and disappears. She, he, I can't really tell from that distance. So I'm trying to get some people on the air who will talk with me about that, and maybe we can come up with a plan or something. I also would love to be able to talk to the jet services folks. If you recall, the VFW a couple months ago had the Cool Cat Bingo, which was a fundraiser for Jets Animal Services, and I talked to a couple people there at that time, and I thought it was pretty cool what they were trying to do, so that was nice, and maybe I could get the Jet people back on this. Plus, I've tried to get the Clinton County Humane Society on the phone, Cheyenne, and I have had a hard time getting together, and I finally kind of gave up because we couldn't get our schedules together. We'd schedule something, and then she'd have to cancel or wasn't available, and then she'd schedule something, and then I had to work late or something one night. But I've had her cancel on me more than I've canceled on her, which was just once. So I'm trying to talk to her, too, because a lot of you have frustration with the Clinton County Humane Society, and I think rightly so. And if I can give these individuals a chance to talk and answer some of the questions and concerns that I hear, whether you hit me up personally or I read about them on Facebook, again, maybe we can do some good for this community and get people, you know, talking to each other. One more thing I wanted to let you know this morning is that also the series of interviews that you're going to be hearing over the next couple months and several weeks here will be that I'm going to try to do what I did when I started KNS back in February. I had a couple interviews to start with, but we really dug into the candidates who are running for local and regional office, particularly county commissioner, a couple county council seats, and that was, of course, the primary, and we have the general coming up here November 5th. And so I'm in the process of identifying every person, Republican and Democrat. Yes, Mark Newhart, I thought of you too. I'm going to try to make a point to interview every single person who is running for anything, whether they're an incumbent or a new candidate who won the May primary. So if you don't hear them on the air, I'm just going to say it nice one time. That means they wouldn't come on the air. And that's kind of the way it worked last time, too. Think back who came on the air with me, and then think who didn't. And, you know, the ones who didn't win. I'm not saying we're that powerful, but I'm saying, just come on and talk to me, all right? We'll also be talking with Mark Ginda, as we had a chance to speak with him. If I can get a hold of the Democratic challenger, I certainly will. So we're also going to do the school board members from all three or four county schools. If they have a school board member, incumbent, or a new challenger coming up November 5th that you'll be able to vote on, I'm going to make the attempt to talk to them if they'll come on the air with me. So I'm doing this as a community service to all of y'all so you all can be as educated and informed as possible. One other cool thing about the election this year is, and I know I've mentioned it a few times, but I want to say it again. When it comes to the school board members, you get to vote on all the districts. You don't have to vote just your district this year. And that's something new in the November general election. So that's super cool, right? And that'll hopefully even things out and give everyone a more fair shot and feel like they're truly represented. Because in just a handful of stories that I brought you here on KNS over the last 6 months, we've had some real wing dingers from Rossville and Frankfort especially. And you've heard them. You know what I'm talking about. And some of these school board members and superintendents just so out of touch with day-to-day family things that we all go through, all of us normal people, just so out of touch, and then not giving a damn. I mean, almost giving us the middle finger. I mean, it's just, there is no discussion, and that's the worst. It's like they just close the door and hope it goes away, and eventually we have to go away. We got to continue with our lives, but man, there's a few people who are really not letting it go away, and I'm pulling hard for them. So these superintendents and some of these school board members need to get their crap together, honestly. So that'll wrap up the program today. Tomorrow, I'm hoping to be able to bring you more on the Rossville kitty cat story, among a few other things as well. All right, thanks for joining me here. I want to thank our community-minded partners from the KNS Radio Network, Heather's Flowers of Frankfort, The Oasis Frankfort, Baber's Honest John Tree Service, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gem City Junction Frankfort, ProBike Computers, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, and Live for Life Indiana Lebanon. We will see you tomorrow morning, and things will start bright and early at 6 a.m. for Morning Sickness with yours truly. The 90s at 9 is next. Have a great day from the KNS Radio Network.